All right, well, Pastor Jim's going to come. You probably wonder why we call him Pastor Jim, some of you. Well, Pastor Jim was the first official assistant pastor here, and the name stuck. And so it's still Pastor Jim. And he might be the doctor and all those other things, but it's Pastor Jim. So we're glad that the Kinesis can be with us, and we thank the Lord for their faithfulness. Thank the Lord for what the Lord is doing in Hungary. And thank the Lord that we can, through them, be a part of what God is doing on the other side of the globe. Amen. Pastor Jim. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a great joy to be back here in our home church. Some people say, welcome home. I'm not home yet. I'll be going home on Friday. And just as we get over jet lag, we're going back again. It is such a blessing to be here and just to report what God has done. And certainly, all we can say, this is what God has done. Pastor prayed a little bit before about, what happens when just one church tract is given. The Lord only knows what just giving one person a tract. My oldest brother, Irwin, he went into the Great Lakes Naval Academy there, the boot camp there, and there was an old man at the gate gave him a New Testament. And as a result of receiving that, my brother trusted Christ as his Savior. And he began to witness to all of our family members. And eventually, it was almost 36 years ago on December 10th, 1978, that I went into Falls Baptist Church. I sat on one of the pews that is here. Now, I don't know which one it was. It was on this side, about where Wally is sitting. I was thinking, right, but that might have been the pew. I don't know. But that's where I heard the gospel for the first time, and I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Amen. And step by step, God called me through His Word into the ministry. And it's just a blessing to know that as we first were in Malaysia, God did a wonderful work there. We turned the work after 4 years there to Bill Toe. And the work there is continuing to go on for the glory of the Lord. And when the walls of communism came down, God made it clear to me that He did not have a permanent place there for us in Malaysia. And so He moved us to Hungary. And what a great joy it was to go to the land where my father was born. And, recently we had a wedding. Some of you were there, there in Hungary. And it's just amazing when I think about, here was a young Catholic boy, 20 years of age in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He trusted Christ, and God had a plan for me. If I'd never gone to Hungary, I guess a lot of things wouldn't happen. It's not me. It's all that God was doing. It all happened in the time and the plan of God. And what a great joy it is just to simply be in the will of God, allowing God to use you. It's just wonderful. A moment we'll preach about that, what God can do through your life if you just let God use you. We first were in Pécs, Hungary, and we're excited when God began to lead souls to Christ. We now have three churches. We're looking forward to the fourth church beginning later this year in Zolikis. He was 7 years old as a little boy. He grew up, he got saved, he grew up in the Lord in our church, and it's exciting as God is preparing him to be a missionary there in Budapest. He's going to start another church there, Lord willing, later on this year. And so the work continues to go on. We're excited about what the Lord is doing in the church in Pécs. They've gone through some deep waters in the last several years. A couple of months ago, not even, I was there and I taught a course on personal evangelism, preached in the church. And God began to stir up the folks a little bit and putting the past behind them and trusting God by faith. And it's been thrilling to see what God has done. The Olas, Gideon and Yolanda Ola, do you know them? Do you know the Olas? Olas are dear, dear, sweet people. And God has used them to plant the second church in Nagy Kanizsa. They're in Nagy Kanizsa in the beginning of last year. Kaboom. The church went through a lot of deep waters, and many people left the church. And for the last year and a half, I have been very closely working with them and been praying together. And God is doing some wonderful things right now. The church is on the mend and looking forward to the future. And you pray. You know, I know that Mike and Sarah Frew, anybody know that? Them? You know them? And it's unusual. Look at no ranges on the front row here. What's the deal there? No ranges on the front row. And Lena is here. For decades, every time I preach, Lena finds a way to weasel out and in the nursery. But Lena is here. Amazing. Wow. God is doing things at McGuanago as well. We are so thankful for how God is working in the church there. And then, of course, a church in Budapest. We've been there for 5 years. We are so thankful for your pastor. Your pastor, Pastor Roberts, our pastor, he is a man greatly used of God. There's another example of a man that God, as a young Christian, God said, I want you to go to McGuanago and start a church. I come back and I look at the buildings and I look at what you're doing over there in the new staff housing and see all that God has done there. Again, step by step, because there was a man that was obedient to the Lord some decades. And that's what missions is. It's just somebody going to a mission field and willing to invest their lives decades to serve the Lord. And it's just a great privilege. And, it leads us into our message tonight, the Jeremiah chapter 1. If you'll turn there, Jeremiah chapter 1. I forgot to tell you more about Budapest. Budapest, oh my. God is doing just a great work there. If you are getting the Hungarian munchies, you know about that. If you do not get my Hungarian munchies, just write me an email or ask Emily in the office and she'll give you my email, jimcanise@yahoo.com, and send me a little note. Please put me on the munchie list and I will do that. And last September, the Lord, now this is not something that I planned or I necessarily am excited about, but God is bringing a lot of foreign students into our church right now. Now, certainly God has a plan, and I don't say no to anybody who God brings the church, and it's been exciting. As some Sundays, we have as many as people from 8 different countries attending our services. Last January, the first Sunday of this year, Dan is a young man. He's 29 years old. He's married. He's studying there in Budapest by himself, and he learned about the Bible over the internet. He just is amazing, his knowledge of the Bible, and yet he was not even saved. He looked on the internet for a church, and here we were right across the Danube River from his dormitory. And he came that Sunday morning in January, and he heard the gospel message. We invited him to our house, and in the afternoon, I led him to Christ. And it was a great blessing. Just about a month ago, many of you saw, you heard his testimony, and you saw as he was baptized into the membership. Also, a young lady from Nigeria was baptized into the membership. A couple of Hungarians were baptized in the membership. And God is just doing a wonderful thing. And we're just so thrilled. This morning, we had 20 people there. Anna is there back on duty. And Belush, he's another young man, saved in the church there in Peach, is growing up. He's been called to the ministry. I believe that God is going to use him in a great way as well. God is raising up people there in Hungary. There's room for more. There's room for more. I don't know. What are you doing with your life? Well, tonight let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Are you hungry? I brought some chocolate into the... Well, just a cover. Some notes that my wife wrote for tonight's sermon. Thanks, honey. And... we were driving here the other day and I was dictating them. She was my secretary, so she wrote these down a little bit. James 4:27. What is your life? It is even a vapor, is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time. You know all about that in Wisconsin, right? Vapor? Oh, cold. Kind of like the early days of McGuanago. You came to the church here, you know, like, who forgot to stoke the furnace, you know? What is your life? It is but a vapor. What are you doing for Christ? Do you understand that God has a wonderful will for your life? Earlier this week on Monday, we were flying from Amsterdam to Atlanta. And as I was flying over Atlanta, I saw the many multi-suburbs there that Atlanta has. And I looked at this house and I said to Valerie, I said, hey, maybe we should retire and maybe buy a house here. Maybe, well, what about that place there? And what about this place there? My wife and I soon will celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. And we've been talking a lot about, what about the next 30? What are you going to do? And what I would guess is probably the last several decades of our lives. I wonder what you're doing today. I wonder what God has for you. In chapter 1 and verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Jeremiah was a prophet. He was from this little village very near Jerusalem, Anathoth, to whom the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. These are the words, as he says, of Jeremiah, verse 1. But this book here of Jeremiah is not just the words of Jeremiah, the life and ministry of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who for more than 40 years proclaimed a message of doom and judgment to a stiff-necked people of Judah. We know Jeremiah to be what prophet? The weeping prophet. The weeping prophet, a heartbroken prophet with a heartbreaking message. He was despised. He was publicly humiliated, persecuted. And yet here Jeremiah bathes his harsh prophecies in tears of compassion. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9, we can see a time that God was really dealing in Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah 20 and verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then said I, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of the laughter. I've had enough of the humiliation. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I had to preach the word of God. The word of God was in me. I was a called prophet of God, and the word of God was burning in my fire. I had to preach the word of God. And you know, this is what God worked in my life as well. Going back to Jeremiah 1, it says there in Jeremiah 1, verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me. We see here that this is the word of the Lord which came, and yet we see that these are the workings of God in the life of Jeremiah. This is what God was doing in his life. You know, if you look at my Bible right here, you can see that these pages are stained more than any place anywhere else in my Bible, because I read this passage more often than any other passage. If you were noticing, I was reading earlier in the service, I was reading from Jeremiah 1. I read this every time before I get up to preach. You'll see as we go on why I do that. The Bible says there, we see here in this first chapter, in the first 10 verses, we see first of all the identification of Jeremiah. The identification of Jeremiah in verses 5 and 6. In verses 7 and 8, we'll see the inauguration of Jeremiah and his ministry, God calling him to ministry. And then in verses 9 and 10, the instructions to Jeremiah. This is what he would do. And so we see here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the identification of Jeremiah. It says here, in chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before, Jeremiah, thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, so many times when I read Jeremiah 1:5, and I've read it many, many times, I thought of the wonderful things. My, look at what, look at all the blessings that I have. Boy, you know, look at God formed me in the womb. You know, you want to look at an argument against abortion. Look right here. God formed me in the womb. When I see what God did in my life, it was God who knew me. My, what a wonderful blessing. You know, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee. And as I first look at this verse, I was rejoicing. Look at what I have. And the emphasis was on myself. And yet then I began to see the emphasis here in chapter 1 and verse 5. It was not me, but it was in fact God himself. If you look at the verbs, it says, before I form thee, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I'm the one that worked in your life. Before you were ever born, I knew thee. I had a personal relationship with you, a close relationship with you. Before you were ever born, I sanctified you, talking of salvation. Before you were ever born, I was the one that ordained thee. I sent you out into the ministry. You know, we see the identification of Jeremiah. It was not Jeremiah. It's not me, but it's God. Look what he, imagine as we think of God. First of all, we see an omniscient God. An omniscient God. Before thou camest forth. Before you were ever born, Jeremiah, I had a plan for your life. Do you realize that tonight? Before we were ever born, God had a specific will for our lives. I never thought I would ever be a missionary. When I was in Bible college, I always thought that I would maybe go out west somewhere or maybe plant a church out there. But God had a different plan. I never thought I would go to Malaysia. I never thought that God would send me to Hungary. But before I was ever born, God had a specific plan. And I'm talking to young people today. God has a specific plan for your life. Do you understand that? Father, you're here today. You don't understand how incredibly important that you stick close to the Lord and lead your family for God because of what God wants to do in the lives of your children. God has a plan before we were ever born. And he wants to work out that plan in our lives. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeared for a little time. What are you doing right now? You know, too many times people are living in the past. Maybe you're here today and, you know, too many times we live in the past. Oh, you know, if this didn't happen in my life, things would all have been better. My, you know, I have this bitterness in my life right now. I have this fear in my life right now because these things happened in the past. Oh, if only this would not have happened. If God would have only met my need. If God would only have been there. And, you know, we live and we focus in the past. Or people live in the future. And they think, well, you know, everything is just going to be fine in the future. I'm just looking ahead in the future. God's going to work everything out. I mean, listen, I have my children here in the Christian school. We're attending a good Baptist church. And, you know, everything's going to be fine. God's going to work everything out in the future. When instead, we need to live right now in the present. God has a plan for my life right now. It is not the pain or maybe the failures or the discouragement of the past. It is not the hope of the future, but it is what we do today. When we understand that God wants to use our lives today so that we can see souls saved and go on and see wonderful things happen. Yes, we see an omniscient God.
before thou camest forth. We see a wise God. God said, I knew you. I formed you. I sanctified thee. I ordained thee. Paul, the apostle Paul says, what can I do? In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, you know, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I persecuted the church of God. And yet he said in verse 10, but I am what I am by the grace of God. We cannot change the past, but we can change the meaning of the past. And we can understand that God has a plan for our lives. And today, young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We see an omniscient God. We see a wise God. But then we see Jeremiah's response. And look at verse 6. We see fallible man. God said, I formed thee. God said, I knew thee. God said, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee. But what did Jeremiah say? Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Oh, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I can't do that. Then said I can't speak like Moses, right? Moses, what am I? I can't go to Pharaoh. I cannot speak. I'm just a child. And what did Paul say to Timothy? Let no man despise thy youth. Oh, I can't do that. I can't serve the Lord. I can't trust the Lord through that trial. Hey, God says, stop talking that way. Amen. Don't talk that way. No. Say not, I am a child. I cannot speak. So here, Jeremiah, God says, listen, I'm the one that did this. I'm the one that's calling you. I'm the one that saved you. Don't say, oh, no, Lord, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Stop thinking that way. Stop talking like that. Fallible man. And then we see in verses 7 and 8, we see the inauguration of Jeremiah. But the Lord said unto me, aren't you glad that he's still speaking? We see, you know, then the word of the Lord, verse 4, came unto me. God said this. Verse 6, then I said, ah, Lord God, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. But thou shalt go, for thou shalt go to all that I should send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So here, like a father says to his child, stop that. Like the father that says, hey, enough is enough, stop that. And God says to us, it's a time to start. A time to start. Say not, I am a child. It's time for some of you tonight to realize that God has a wonderful will for your life. I'm talking about some young people. Yeah, I'm thankful for the ones that God is raising up, but there's still need for more missionaries in Hungary. There are places, and I've talked to someone recently when they were in Hungary, and I said, my, look at what is your life? What are you doing with your life? Here are places all around Hungary that you could come and serve the Lord. It's a time to start. Don't let the past drag you down. The failure of the past. Oh, the fear. No, I don't know. I'm not sure what the future is going to hold. Stop that. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Say not, it is time to start. But then we see also in verse 7, it's a time to serve. He says, I am sending thee. Don't talk about your weaknesses. Don't talk about the fact that you're just a child. Stop that. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. I am commanding thee to speak. I am sending you. I have ordained you. Yes, thank the Lord for the humility of that one that says, Lord, yes, as I said as a young Christian, Lord, my life is not very much. But Lord, if you'll have me, Lord, I will put my life in your hand, Lord, wherever you would want me to go. And how I praise the Lord, though we have not done everything perfectly, yet I'm so thankful for what God has done.
and what God will do. And I'm talking about some young people today. You know, you might be giving, you might say, well, Lord, I'm just a child. Lord, I can't do anything. Lord, you know my parents. Lord, you know my background. Lord, you know what I have. Lord, you know this. Say not, I am a child. I am calling you. Stop that. It's time to start. It's time to serve. It's time to go into the harvest fields. As Valerie said, Tasha, you know, again, I come back to America and, boy, I'm going through American culture shock. You pray for me. I'm really going through American culture shock here. And, you know, we come back and we're there at Culver's and Tasha and, we talked to her and then as my wife said, she said, I gave her a track. I've never had this ever in the Lord. This week, the day we met her was a 1 year anniversary that her father had died. And she recognized those things. And there are people all over the place waiting for us. It was good to hear the wonderful testimonies of people, some of you that are planting seeds of the gospel. And people are being invited to come. Say, it is time to start. It is time to serve. Look at verse 8. It is a time to trust. Verse 8 is a time to trust. And this is why I read this every time before I preach. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. It is time to trust. It is not a time to fear. It is time to trust the Lord and what He can do through your life. Jeremiah would face, innumerable obstacles. He would face the persecution. They would put him in jail. They would do terrible things. They would speak against him. And yet he was called of God when he said, I'm not going to preach. The word was burning in his heart. He said, I have to preach. We need young men and young women. We need families that will live godly lives in their neighborhoods that will reach others for Christ. Trust in God. Be not afraid to take a stand for Christ. Be not afraid to trust Him. I am with thee to deliver thee. He said that to Moses. Moses, go forward. You're facing the Red Sea. Go forward. Trust me. And God did a wonderful work. Joshua, take the nation of Israel into the promised land. Be strong and of good courage. I will be with you. And folks, you know, it would be a foolish thing for me to continue on in ministry if I didn't realize that I had an army of people here and around the world praying for us. I would be a fool to think that if somehow we could do ministry in our own selves, or in our own flesh, in our own energy, we are to have the confidence. God says, "I am with thee to deliver thee." Folks, tonight it is a time to start. It is a time to serve. It is a time to trust. The identification of Jeremiah. The inauguration of Jeremiah. But then we see in verses 9 and 10, we see the instructions to Jeremiah. The instructions to Jeremiah. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I see, first of all, this cleansing of Jeremiah, the lips, of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 7. The coal was taken off the altar and touched to Isaiah's sinful lips, and he was cleansed. And then he responded and said, God said, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Here am I, send me. He touched my mouth. He said in verse 9, I have put my words in thy mouth. What am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to say? In 1990, we were in a meeting in Metz, France. We were missionaries there about the time that, the walls of communism came down. And here were new opportunities in Southeast Asia. God had called us to go to Hungary. And we wondered, what do I say? What do we do to these people? What do we tell them? And Monroe Parker that day said, well, boys, just teach them the Bible. Just teach them the Bible. and my entire ministry in Hungary, if you were there, every one of you here today, every one of you have a simple knowledge of the Bible, how do people get saved, defeat temptations, grow in the Lord. That's all you need on the mission field. The simple preaching of the Word of God. And God says, I have put, Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. You are now cleansed. You are now sent. You are my servant. My, if young people here tonight would realize the wonderful opportunity you have, what is your life? And it's gone. And there are people all around the world. I can't wait. I love one day to go with Dan back to his home city, 14 million people. Chengdu, China, that's where all the panda bears come from. And Ricky, you've been there, right? Chengdu, yeah. 14 million people there. And what a tremendous, to go there. We have several students now, two members of our church. We believe that they're both from Nigeria. We believe that they're eventually going to get married. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see them go back to Lagos, Nigeria, and plant a church there? To Lusaka. Lusaka is Agatha's city, country. Zambia. Lusaka, Zambia. She says, oh yeah, we'd love to have you come and preach there sometime. There are places all around the world waiting for young people to say, Lord, you've got a special place, a plan for my life. Here am I. Send me. We see the cleansing in verse 9, but then in verse 10, we see the empowering. See, Jeremiah, I have set thee this day, set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Jeremiah, I formed thee. I knew thee. I sanctified thee. Hey, Jeremiah, I ordained thee. I'm sending you. You have the authority given to you by God. Matthew 18, all authority and power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Empowering authority given by God. We have the authority, we have the command to take the gospel out. Cleansed, empowered to take the message of the gospel. And you know, when we go forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with him. We will see people saved. And then we see finally then the instructions. Jeremiah's ministry. What was Jeremiah's ministry? What was it to do? We see, first of all, negatively. Jeremiah, I've set you over the nations and the kingdoms. Number one, to root out. Number two, and to pull down. Number three, and to destroy and to throw down. Any farmer knows. If you're going to plant something, if you're going to have a ministry, if you're going to have something of value, if you're going to grow something that will turn into something and will multiply, you have to prepare the soil first. If God is going to use some of you in a great way, maybe even tonight he needs to begin to root out some things of your life. He needs to maybe root out some worldliness. Maybe some young people, you know, living a double life here tonight, listening to the preaching and involved in the church ministry, but your heart is far away from God. Maybe some of you have a bitterness. This happened in my life. This happened, you know, years ago. My husband did this. My wife said that. And you have a bitterness in your heart against your mother, against your father, against maybe a brother or sister. And maybe tonight God says, enough is enough. Stop it. We need to root out the bitterness. We need to tear down those walls of resistance that you said no to the Lord. You need to tear down those wrong attitudes and those, you know, close the door on Satan. It is time to destroy and to cast down, throw down those wicked imaginations. It is time to throw out those hidden sins that no one else knows about. Why? Because God has a plan for our lives. There's unsaved folks waiting to hear, not only in Budapest, in Hungary, across Europe, across America, right here in McGonagall. Jeremiah, his ministry was to be, first of all, negative, but then, secondly, positive. To build
and to plant, to bring forth fruit. What does God want to see tonight? He wants to see fruit, doesn't he? Mark chapter 11, Jesus came to Jerusalem from Bethany. He was hungry. And he saw the fig tree far off, and he was hoping there would be some fruit on it, and there was no fruit. Oh, how he wanted fruit. How hungry he was. How much God tonight looks at our barren lives, our fig trees that are just leaves. Looks good. From a distance on the outside, looks wonderful. But upon closer examination, there's no fruit. Where's the fruit? Young person, how long have you been saved? Where's the fruit? You know, I told you a couple months ago, I taught that course on personal evangelism there in Page. And I began with a quiz. I wasn't going to give you that quiz tonight. I thought I would. But anyway, I started with a quiz. I asked them questions like this. How many years have you been saved? How many years has it been? How many tracts have you handed out this past month? We heard testimonies of folks handing out tracts right now. I asked, how many do you have tracts with you right now? You have some tracts with you right now? When was the last time you brought a visitor to church? 2015. I mean, certainly somebody, right? How many people have you brought to church? I asked, how many people have you led to Christ? And it is a sad truth that so very few people have, Christians, saved for years, decades, have never led one soul to Christ. When was the last time you led someone to Christ? How many people right now are a baptized member of the church because of your influence? Are we bringing forth fruit? What would you say of my ministry if I said, well, you know, yeah, we've been there for 5 years in Budapest, but, you know, we just stay home and we don't really give out tracts. We have services, but we don't have that many people. And that's okay, you know, as long as I keep writing the munchies. And, well, we don't have anybody saved. You say, Brother Canise, we want you there to preach the gospel, to see souls saved, to see people coming into ministry, to build churches. And yet I would ask you, young person, tonight, how long have you been saved? Father, how many people have you brought into this church? What is your life? And it's gone. What are you doing for Christ today? Right now. If you could understand the blessing of serving Christ and seeing folks saved and seeing them baptized and seeing them grow into churches, there is no exciting way to spend your life than to bring forth fruit. Jesus Christ is hungry and he wants to see fruit in our lives, in our churches. What are we doing with our lives? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this, my home church. Lord, I'm thankful for so many things I hear that they are giving out tracts and inviting folks to come. But Lord, you want all of us to be involved. And Lord, I believe the best days of McGuanago Baptist Church are yet to come. Lord, I pray, as we've seen a young lady, Tasha. Lord, there's hundreds of Tashas out there in this city. Lord, as we've seen people we work with and people we grew up next to and
in our neighborhoods. Lord, there's so much more fruit you want us to bring forth. Lord, would you work in our hearts tonight? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe the Lord has spoke to your heart tonight. When is the last time you led someone to Christ? Have you brought someone to the church this year? Maybe even last year? Young person, what are you going to do with your life? I wonder if the Holy Spirit has spoke to your heart tonight. And you would say, you know, there's some things I need to forget. There's some things I need to forsake. There's some changes I need to make in my life right now. And you say, the Holy Spirit's speaking to my heart right now. Now, folks, if God is not speaking in your heart and you're just waiting for this service to get over and you can get out the door, that's fine. But if you're serious about the Lord tonight, young person, this, for some of you, God is speaking to your heart right now. There is a world out there that God wants you. He has a plan for your life. And tonight you would say, God spoke to my heart as a Christian. I'm here. I can see there's some changes in my life. As a father, as a head of my family, as a deacon of this church, as someone, a young person in this church, God has spoke to my heart. There's a need, there's a change I need to make in my life. God spoke to my heart. Please pray for me. Would you raise up a hand if God spoke to your heart? All right, thank you. All right, number of hands. Yes, all right, thank you. Yes, a number of hands. Yes, I see those hands. Do you know, as a result of the decisions right now, you know, the devil doesn't mind if you make a decision. It bothers him when you carry it out. But as God leads us to make a decision tonight, and then to carry that out, I believe souls will be saved as a result of that. Lord, I want to make a change. Lord, I want to be different. Lord, give me a soul, and God will give you a soul. Is there a young person tonight, maybe a young couple tonight, and you would say, you know, I believe the Lord has been speaking to my heart over the last several days, maybe even months. And you see, I believe that tonight God is calling me into full-time Christian service, maybe to be a missionary, maybe to be a pastor, evangelist, a pastor's wife, a missionary's wife. And I believe that God, you know, is working specifically in my heart tonight. I believe God is calling me into full-time Christian service. Is there one like that this evening? Would you raise up a hand? All right, thank the Lord for that one. Amen. Thank the Lord. Yes, I see another hand as well. Can we all stand together as we pray? Let's all stand as we pray together. Lord, I pray for a number of hands that were raised this evening. Lord, we don't have time to wait. Our life is but a vapor. And Father, you have spoken to hearts today. I pray for the men that raise a hand today, a number of young people that have raised a hand today. Lord, would you do a deep work in our hearts right now? Lord, there needs to be some changes and decisions. And Lord, I pray that you would powerfully work. I pray for these two that raised a hand. As you're calling them into the into full-time Christian service tonight, might they come and share that with Pastor, and that you would do a great work. As their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, as the instruments in a moment will play, I'd encourage you to come down. Maybe there's some couples that you need to come down to this altar and say, things need to be different in our family, in our home, and you need to come together. I'm speaking to some young people tonight. You need to come down to this altar and say, I'm going to change my internet habits. I'm talking about some men, and you need to make a decision for Christ, and God spoke into your heart. We prayed. Now, as we have a time of invitation, would you step out now and come and make that decision? Would you come?